Blog Talk Radio.
International and Greater Is In You. Well, today's broadcast is going to be a good one. I think everyone will be pleasantly pleased and blessed with it. Amen. So, today's broadcast is, what are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with your talent? You're always being told from what we think of talent, because what the Word says about talent is totally different than how we think of what a talent is. Amen? So first of all, we're going to dive into actually what a talent is. And then I'm also going to address, what are you being told about the use of your talent? You know, your friends speak to you, your relatives speak to you, your loved ones always telling you or asking you, why aren't you singing and dancing and acting and cooking, doing public speaking and teaching them, blah, 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 all that other stuff. Well, today on the show, we're going to address the actual meaning of what the talent is and was and have always been. And then we're going to put it in today's vernacular, in today's society. And we're going to address some of those other gifts. Amen? But before we get started, you know how I like to do. I like to start off with prayer. So let us pray and we'll go right into the Word. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, I want to thank you for having us to be your children, that you adopted us, and that Jesus Christ is our big brother. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word. Thank you that I may decrease and that you will increase, and that all that hear your Word that come out of the sound of my mouth, from the sound of my voice and out of my mouth, will be blessed and that they can apply to their everyday living. Father, we thank you and we praise your holy name this day. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, what are you doing with your talent? Now, I'm going to be coming out of Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Everyone has probably heard it, but I want to reiterate it again, or to cover it in the actual vernacular, the actual essence of what the gospel, what God intended, what Christ intended when he spoke the parable in the very beginning. Amen. So let us go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And I read, and I'm reading from God's Word translation, which is more of a up-to-date wording of Scripture, so you won't get the thems and the e's and the ahs and all that other stuff. All right? So, verse 14 of chapter 25 of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a trip. He called his servants and entrusted some of them with money. He gave one $10,000. He gave another $4,000. He gave another $2,000. That's three different people. Each was given money based on his ability. Then the man went on his trip. The one who received the $10,000 invested his money at once and doubled his money. The one who had $4,000 did the same and also doubled his money. But the one who received the $2,000 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who received the $10,000 brought the additional $10,000, and he said, "You gave me $10,000. I've doubled that amount." His master replied, "Good job. You're a good and faithful servant. You proved that you could be trusted with a small amount. I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and share your master's happiness." Verse 22, the one received the 4,000 talents or dollars came and said, "Sir, you gave me 4,000. I've doubled the amount." His master replied, "Good job. You're a good and faithful servant. You proved that you could be trusted with a small amount. I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the one who received the $2,000 came and said, "Sir, I knew that you were a hard person to please. You harvest where you haven't planted. You gather where you haven't scattered any seeds. I was afraid, so I hid your $2,000 in the ground. Here's your money." Verse 26, his master responded, "You evil and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvest where I haven't planted and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have invested my money with the bankers. When I returned, I would have received my money back with interest." $2,000 away from him. "Give it to the one who has the $10,000. To all who have more will be given, and they will have more than enough. But everything will be taken away from those who don't have much. Throw this useless servant outside into the darkness. People will cry and be in extreme pain there." That's serious right there. I want you to think about that just for a bit while we go on this music break. Amen? Amen.
I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
I don't think that I can live no other way. Truth be told, I'm living now on an A. Not to see them blessings in the modern day. The Lord I serve, He give them to me every day. I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. See, I have been forgiven, now I'm living. And when I say I love, I mean it. Cause none of this be nothing, it be coming. I listen, so I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, love him, I love him, I love him, love him, love him, I love him.
You ain't got the money moving by yourself. And you know you did it with a lot of air. You know it's only one, it ain't nobody else. You got me talking strong and I ain't rich, I'm talking well. See, I'm forgiving, I'm forgiving. I love God.
You love God. What's wrong with you?
I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him.
I love God. I love God. Erica Campbell, what's wrong with you? I love that song. I mean, it's catchy, but it's true. I love God. What's wrong with you? Everybody else tripping over something else. They're loving themselves and everything else except God. Crazy. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch. Okay, we ended off with me reading Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, let's really break down what's going on here. First of all, let me explain to you what a talent is. A talent is actually a weight. It wasn't a coin or a currency. It was a weight, heavy amount, actually. Let's put it this way. The large gold menorah that's in the tabernacle, that was one talent. That was one talent. A Greek talent weighed about 60 pounds. A Roman talent weighed about 70. A Babylonian talent was less than 70. So these guys were dealing with some serious, serious weight. And this was gold. This wasn't silver. This was gold. So when the one servant got the 10 talents, the other got received the 4 talents, and then the one that received the 1 talent, that's a lot of weight. So what they did, because of course we already know from the parable that Christ was speaking about himself. He was going on a long journey. He was going to leave, go to heaven, as he said in scripture, that my Father has a mansion that has many rooms in it, and that he was going to go and prepare a place and come back for us. So this is that parable. This is part of that revelation that he was giving, that he was going to go away on a long journey and he was going to leave you responsible with things, leave you and I responsible with things. And so he leaves these servants with these things. Now, these servants are very interesting because interesting because they didn't know when he was coming back, because the master never said a time. And listen, in the scripture, it also says that we will not know the time nor the hour, the day or the hour when Christ will return. So in other words, he leaves us with these things, and we need to get about our business of handling God's business, our master's business, not knowing when he's going to return, so that when he does return, we can give him back what he has given us plus some. But we don't know when he's coming. The first two immediately, the word of God said that they immediately went and doubled their master's money. They went and traded it, went on the stock market or whatever the case may be, and they doubled their master's money. Now, the third one is the one that is interesting to me, because the third one came along with this pass along. Number one, he knew the master was leaving. He knew, just like the other two, that they didn't know when he was returning. Amen? But instead of going and handling his master's business, he digs a hole, placed the talent in the ground. He sits back and chill. and he concocts the story in his mind to justify or attempt to justify why he didn't go about handling his master's business. So the master said to them, the first two, he said, "You've done good, you've done well. Come and enjoy the master's happiness." So that means that there's going to be more. You know, he says, you know, "You've been trusted with a small amount. I'm going to put you in charge of a large amount. So you were trusted with a small amount while I was gone. Now you're going to come into heaven, and now I'm really getting ready to give you some responsibility." So guess what? That means that when Christ returns and we all leave this place or leave from this life, from this system, and going into the goodness and richness and happiness and joy of heaven, there's still going to be work to do. And we're going to be given more work to do than the work that we've done down here. But in the case of the third one comes back and comes with that old, you know, kicking the bucket down the road. And he says to him, "I knew that you were a hard person. Come on, man. How could he be a hard person? He left you with everything." So that's the first thing. Then he says, "You harvest where you haven't planted, and you gather where you haven't scattered any seed." What does that got to do with the price of tea in China? So he's trying to justify, "You were a hard man. You planted where you didn't own this land, and or you didn't have you were not in control of this land, because who is in control of this world? Satan." So he said, "Hey, planted seeds in an environment that we know that Satan is in control of this environment." And then on top of that, and you scattered those seeds on enemy ground, and you've done a great job. And so I didn't want to lose what you've given me. I was afraid." What? The Word of God says that, you know, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So where did the fear come from? It was the fear of when he came back and he wasn't expecting for him to come back, and he didn't have anything to show for it except for the one talent that he left him with. So he tried to clean this thing up. See, what happened was, he just totally screwed up. And the master's reply was, "You evil and lazy servant. If you knew that I haven't harvested where I haven't planted, if you knew that I gather where I haven't scattered, then the least you should have done was given this talent to the bankers. At least when I came back, I would have had some interest. I don't even have that." I don't even have that. "Away with you. For a matter of fact, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the one talent that you have that you did not double up for me, and I'm going to give it to the one that has 10, and now I want you to be put away. You are the weakest link. Bye-bye. You're going to hell. All hell can. I mean, and you're going to bust it wide open because you're evil. And on top of that, you're lazy." Now, I brought all this up with the subject of it because most of the time we think of talents as talents like singing and dancing and doing all of those things that we do. Yes, God has given us gifts. He's given us gifts of singing and writing and dancing and cooking and so many gifts, crafting and homemaking. What are you doing with those gifts? What are they producing? Are you applying yourself, not knowing when Christ is going to return? Are you applying yourself to where that gift has made room for you and have placed you before great and mighty men, to where that gift doubles and produces and yields much more fruit than what was given to you in the first place? Yeah, that's a hard one right there. That's a real hard one. What are we doing? You know, if you are a writer, you need to be writing books, giving glory to God, whatever. What it does, and this is the thing, everything doesn't have to be Christian. Yes, you are a Christian, but everything doesn't have to be Christian. Now, that doesn't give you, you know, carte blanche leeway to just go and just write or sing or do anything. Come on, let's have some morals. Let's have some standards about this thing. But there are things that you can do that God has gifted you with that only you can do, that no one else can do, and you can double it, if not triple it, to live the life that you want to live here on earth. And then upon the day of Christ's return, he will say, my good and faithful servant, come into my rest, and I'm going to give you more than what you were doing here on earth. And that's deep right there. But it's a true thing. It's a very true thing, and it's something that we all need to look at. Look at ourselves. Look at the person within. Look at the man or the woman in the mirror. Ask yourself honestly, what have you done with your gift or gifts? As well as what have you done with what God has left you with as far as money-wise? If you are blessed with being able to make money and you're making it only for yourself and you're not doubling it up and you're not giving to the kingdom so that the kingdom prospers, Houston, we have a problem. We have a very large problem. And when Christ returns, he's going to say, you're evil and you're lazy, and I don't want no parts of you. But before I banish you to hell, before I exile you into hell, give the talent that I gave to you when I left you, that I left you with, give it to the one that I gave 10 talents to so that he can do something with this. Now you can be out of my sight. That's a harsh message. So, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, NFL fans around the world, I want to thank you, but I also want you to think about what are you doing with your talent. I want to thank you for coming online. Be sure to go to www.greaterisinyou.us. Check out our website. Check out the workshops that we have available. Check out our partner section. We're adding new partners. And it's a glorious and wonderful time to be in the Lord. Amen. You have an awesome weekend, and I will see you next week. God bless. Peace.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure. You meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. So much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path, closing every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful to my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout out hallelujah here, 'cause my praise is worth fighting for. Hallelujah, 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 life with you is worth fighting. Victory is mine today.